Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, many of the findings from the Commission on Mother and Baby Homes could be sealed for 30 years under legislation currently going through the Oireachtas. Earlier in the show, Children's Minister Roderick O'Gorman told me that the law was about protecting a vital database from being legally redacted. But his interpretation of the law is being disputed by the group Justice for Magdalens. And I'm joined now by two of their members, Catherine O'Donnell, Associate Professor at the UCD School of Philosophy, and also from the UK by a survivor of the Mother and Baby Homes, Mary Merritt, and thank you both very much for joining us this evening. Catherine,
Sarah.
I might come to yourself first. What did you make of the minister's arguments earlier?
Very worried. I was very worried that he didn't answer your direct question on how you termed it forced family separation and the disappearance of relatives. He is asking us to accept that the Commission's report is going to be the first and the only word on illegal adoption, illegal fostering, illegal trafficking, and what's done with the remains of dead children, where they're buried, if they're buried, or if they're used in medical science. And we'll have absolutely no way in which we can verify the findings of the Commission, because he's saying, I think erroneously actually, that he has to seal the entire Commission's archive once it's transferred to him. And the reason I think he's erroneous in thinking he has to seal the entire Commission's archive is he's patently able to unseal it by now proposing to send some of the information to TUSLA. But also the Act itself just says that he's required merely to keep what should have been in the National Archives safe for another 30 years. Anyway, what we can see here is that there's an opportunity, if there is political will, to do the right thing. And what the right thing looks like is that the minister will keep a copy of the entire Commission archive. He will facilitate personal data access requests to the archive from survivors and families. Within a month, it would be a good idea for him to publish an appropriately redacted index so we can actually see what kind of records we're talking about. It seems most likely that there's diocesan records, that there's correspondence between bishops to civil servants, that there's correspondence from diplomatic sources to politicians. There's an entire history here of how the state was involved in forced family separation. Mm. And we need to have access to that information.
Well,
so once that index is published, then...
Sorry to interrupt you. When I put it to the minister, or I asked him who benefits from sealing the archives, now he did say, you know, it's something that he would like to look at and begin a conversation about at a political level as to whether or not it is necessary to seal the archive, or could there be legislation brought in to make sure that those archives are not sealed for 30 years.
But Sarah, he's bringing in legislation right now. Now is the time that he's picked.
Mm.
You know, I mean, when is going to be this ideal time when actually he'll go back and undo the bad law that he's trying to bring in now? Now is the time that he's picked. Now is the time when he has decided that some of the archive can be released to TUSLA. What he should do is just keep all of the archive, facilitate personal data request, publish an anonymized index so that then we can actually begin to have a properly informed consultation process on the further archiving, on sealing of the Commission's archive, so people can get their personal records, so that those personal records, of course, won't be made available to the public, but that properly redacted information can be made publicly available so we can start to do the educational process and the research process to figure out how this awful system existed for so long in our country.
Okay, well, as I said, we're also joined on the line by Mary Merritt. And Mary, you went in front of the Commission, you told them your story. Can you tell us what story you told them?
Well, I went up when I had my child, which people don't believe where I had that child today. I'm coming up 90 years of age. I've no need to lie or tell any stories about anything now. Coming to the end of my years. So I'm now going to say it. They wouldn't let me say it before on the television or on radio or nothing. My child was born
All right.
in the Archbishop's Palace.
I tell you what, Mary, just because there was probably a reason for you being asked not to say that on broadcast before now, but I do appreciate that that is part of your story. Can I ask you, just in terms of the minister wanting to seal the findings of the commission for the next 30 years, how would that affect you, or would it affect you?
Yes, it would affect me very, very much, very much. I, like I said, I'm coming up 90. I went through all these years of 31 years in the institutions, and at the end of it, all I had was a child, a lovely child, my daughter. I went up to the mother and baby home twice after I left it, and I went up there and was told by the nuns to get off the premises, or they called the police to me, or the guard or whatever. And I said, I know I want to see my child. Your child is not here. You're not even fit to bring up a child, I was told. And you get off these premises now. I couldn't find my child. I couldn't find anything about her. I did not. And I will say this thoroughly and truthfully, at 90 years of age coming up, I did not sign papers for that child to be adopted.
So that would be part of, I suppose, what we're hearing about, a systematic forced family separations. And your story would chime, I think, with a lot of people who gave evidence to the commission. The concern being now that if those archives are sealed, that even though the minister says to us that there's going to be, I think he said, a 4,000-page report, there's going to be a very extensive report coming out from the commission on this, that it may not all be there.
Well, I went to every institution that I could think of in Ireland to look to see if I could find out about my daughter. I went everywhere. I can't tell you where I didn't go. I spent days and days walking the streets of Dublin into different societies to ask. I went through. I spent a whole day in one place looking through every book in the library to see if I could find anything. Nobody wanted to help me. Nobody wanted to know. I was told you signed the adoption papers. I did not sign adoption papers. They falsely signed them papers by my hand. I don't know how. When I left High Park, after being in all the institutions for 14 years in High Park and 14 years in the industrial school and 16 months in the mother and baby home, when I left them institutions, I wasn't able to read and write, and anybody would sign them papers over here in England. I wasn't able to sign any papers. So how could I sign papers if I didn't know how to read and write? I got no education in Ireland whatsoever. And I don't know what the church or the nuns want to hide now. They have nothing to hide, because everything should have been out in the front. We should have known where our children went and who they went to. I didn't get to know my daughter, for goodness sake. I was 82 years of age when I got to know and find my daughter where she was. And that was through the society of whatever, the children or something. But I was 83 years of age. How old was I to be able to look after a child then? Yeah. I was told then, when I was only 31 years of age when I went back there to look for her, I was told then that I wasn't fit to be a mother.
And can I ask you, Catherine,
And then the nuns in that convent, I will never, never, I will go to my grave. And I will go to my grave of what happened to me in Ireland. Nobody wanted to believe me where this happened. Yeah. Nobody. I went to everybody and nobody wanted to believe me. I even went and spoke to a priest. And I spoke to a priest over here to see if I could get any recognition. But I've no. And I've no time. And I can't tell you what I think about them today.
I might go back to Catherine on it, because Mary has put her story, you know, very clearly, and a very difficult life really that she's had because of what she's gone through. But she's given that testimony to the commission. What we're being told by the minister is that her testimony, although it will be anonymised, that testimony will be in the report along with all the other testimonies that they received, and that we will get all the evidence that the commission has compiled in this report. So why then is it so important that the archives are unsealed?
Oh, Sarah, you know, he hasn't read the report yet. And the commission refused to give the people who went before it a transcript of the testimony that they gave to the commission. So now we're being told something like their testimony will all be included. They'll be able to recognise it. There'll be excerpts. It'll be expressed. I mean, this just patently isn't good enough. We should have an entire archive so that we can all see and continue to learn from the research that's required into this system of forced family separation. Okay. The Commission's report cannot be the only word that's ever being allowed written on it. And if this bill progresses, nobody else will ever be able to see anything definitive or conclusive. And furthermore, all of this archive will be sealed from any kinds of other justice initiatives, any kinds of truth-telling or any kinds of court cases that may perhaps come out of this.
All right. Well, Catherine O'Donnell, Associate Professor at the UCD School of Philosophy, thank you very much for joining us this evening. And particular thanks to yourself, Mary Merritt, who is a survivor of the mother and baby homes and who joined us this evening to share her story.